Susan Gunn, thank you for accepting our invitation. You are the Senior Technical Advisor for the International Program on the Elimination of Child Labor, and you are here to talk about the launch of this new report of the ILO entitled Children in Hazardous Work, What We Know, What We Need to Do, in the context of the World Day Against Child Labor, 12th June 2011.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Our pleasure. First, very important note. We know that through this report, we know that every minute of every day, a child laborer somewhere in the world suffers from a work-related accident, illness, or psychological trauma. What do we mean by that? Can we elaborate?
The ILO is concerned about the health of children in many different aspects. There's the physical health, and we often think about injuries. But there's also mental health, and a lot of people don't realize how susceptible young people are to mental, emotional stress, intimidation, harassment. And they also don't realize that in the intellectual development of a child is going on even into the late teen years, and that if you impede that development, then you've almost lost a generation. You have condemned another generation to a cycle of poverty. So there's four different dimensions. There's the physical, there's the emotional, there's the intellectual, and there's the social. So all of these areas are included in the definition of hazardous child work.
Okay. Now, in the context of Africa, which is more interesting for our auditors, of course, the report says that the largest proportion of children in hazardous work relative to the overall number of children in the region is in sub-Saharan Africa. Can you give us a little breakdown or a more elaborate response on that?
Yeah. There's many, many children working in Africa, and a lot of that work is probably acceptable. It's helping their families after school or on weekends. But there's another group of children who are working exceptionally long hours. They just don't get enough sleep. They may be working 10, 11, even 12 hours a day. And then if you combine even, let's say, 5 hours of work a day with school, again, the children aren't getting enough sleep. Then there's also children who are working in mining. You have still a lot in West Africa, Central Africa, children who are working in artisanal mines, and this is some of the worst, because they go down small holes that are subject to collapse, and they're working with toxic mercury and other substances to extract gold. And this has a terrible effect upon the developing brain and the nervous system. People don't realize, because they don't see perhaps the immediate effect, but after a period of time, the effects of mercury, for example, are catastrophic. So many, many children in Africa are working in agriculture. Agriculture as an industry isn't hazardous, by no means. It puts food on our table and there's lots of decent work. But when children are using pesticides, that is when, again, it's a toxic effect of these chemicals that we're concerned about. So if we were to do two things in Africa, if we were to concentrate on reducing children's hours and we were to make sure that they did not handle toxic chemicals, then we would go a long ways to reducing hazardous child labor in Africa.
Okay. Now, the report says children in hazardous work, what we know and what we need to do. And what are we doing? Can you tell us a little bit more of some of these programs and mention perhaps one or two countries where we have actually real programs in order to tackle this issue?
One of the big priorities for Africa is for each of the countries on the continent to develop what we call a hazardous list. And this is really important because it's an opportunity for government, workers, and employers, and even representatives of children and youth organizations to get together and make a list of those things which are okay and those which are not okay for kids to be involved in. And then when you've got that list, then that's the basis for all kinds of public awareness and so on. And we found that particularly effective. Ghana, South Africa, Tanzania, Kenya, almost, I think it is about three-quarters of the countries in Africa already have a list. And now what we're encouraging them to do is to update that list to make sure that they've got call centers and other kinds of, well, fast food joints, other kinds of work involved in it. What are the other things that we're doing in that, or that we can do to combat hazardous child labor? It's mainly providing opportunities for youth to organize and to be affiliated with trade unions, and so that they know what their rights are as workers, and that they also know and learn about what are the risks and hazards in the kind of occupation that they want to work in. Almost all occupations, even except for mining maybe, have some tasks that are okay for kids to do, they're safe for them to do, and that we would encourage them to be involved in. But they need to know what the hazards are. So awareness raising at the national level, awareness raising at the enterprise and in the farm level. Those are two important ways.
Two important ways. Okay. So you mentioned the countries where you have best practices. You also mentioned education, training, and organizing those young workers, perhaps safeguarding as well. It's very difficult to have statistics in the African region. So how do you cope with that issue?
Well, you know, we have a big ally in terms of the health community. Niger, for example, right now is exploring, and Burkina Faso in Mali, exploring the use of primary health care workers to gather statistics so that when a young person comes into a clinic, for example, and they have an injury, the nurse there asks them, did you get this cut while you were working? And if so, then they can document it. And then it's built up from the ground, these statistics, so that you get actual, and in fact, this is the way developed countries do it too, from health statistics and from poison control centers and so on. But this way we can get good data on what are the accident rates and how many children are working.
Okay. Roughly, a figure in the report, it says 115 million of the world's 215 million child laborers are in hazardous work. And obviously, in sub-Saharan Africa, that ratio is extremely higher. Mm-hmm. Do you see any potential of reducing that, giving the goal of eliminating the worst forms of child labor by 2016? In sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah, many people don't realize that hazardous work is a worst form of child labor. And so if we can make an inroad against that, we might be able to make our goal, actually, by 2016. So as I said before, let's regulate the long hours. Let's make sure that all the employers know how to do risk assessments and to inform their young workers as what's okay for them to do and what's not okay, what's safe, and how to handle that. And then make sure that there's a list.
Okay. So the World Day of Child Labor 2011 is on 12th of June. Where will you be? And what will you be doing?
We're going to be... we're preparing a new report. We're going to be looking much more in-depth at the statistics on accidents and injuries. And we're going to be trying to promote for this whole year, not just one day, but try to find a way that we can galvanize the whole world community to do something about hazardous child labor. And we think at the end of this year, in partnership with youth employment programs, with the health community, and with other agencies, that we can reach our goal.
Thank you. And I just want to remind you one thing. Every minute of every day, a child laborer somewhere in the world suffers from a work-related accident, illness, or psychological trauma. So we need to do something about it on World Day Against Child Labor 2011, but also during the whole year. Thank you very much.